Welcome to the Book Chooks, where we talk about books with your host, Librarian Selena.
I love reading books, it's fun. I often read them with my mom. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Right here on Planet 104.6 FM. Stay tuned for the next half hour as we find more great books to read. Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight, Book Chooks are really excited to have journalist and author of The Man Who Ate Lincoln Road. Welcome, Steve Brawnius.
Thanks, Selena.
Hey, I'm going to read out the blurb of this book that's just been published, so readers and listeners will know what we're in for. So here we go. So he went looking for New Zealand. He got as far as McDonald's. The discovery that one street in Auckland was lined with 55 food joints, mostly fast food, soaked in fat and salt and good sweet sugar, got Steve Brawnius to thinking, could one man eat the lot in a single year? Was it possible? Was it wise? And was it something that might actually provide an understanding about a nation devoted to eating junk food? This is a journal of his quest. It's a rich comedy set in McDonald's, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Subway, Dunkin' Donuts and other franchises, one after another, one step at a time, told by a hero for our times, the man who ate Lincoln Road. And I'm so happy that he's here with us tonight.
Thanks, Alita.
Now, The Man Who Ate Lincoln Road, it's got pictures of him along road with donuts and hamburgers and... What's a slop?
I think it's a representation of fries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And like Subway and pizza. Heck, pizza.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to sort of use the actual brand names on the cover. So we sort of invented a few.
Cool. So you wrote this, was it every week for the New Zealand Herald?
Yes, that's right. All throughout 2016.
Yep.
And it started at around about February and finished just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And during the Christmas break, which is a period where I do quite a lot of thinking, because you've got time off and you can ponder and reflect.
Yeah.
And I wondered whether the notion struck me that I wondered whether it would make a good book. Yeah. So I went back and had a read of them.
Yeah.
And the answer was yes. I thought this would make an okay book.
It makes a great book.
So I swung into it and we did it real fast.
Yeah, yeah. Because I live near Lincoln Road.
Do you? Whereabouts?
Oh, just, well...
Nearby.
Nearby. It's enough. I can walk there.
How many have you eaten at?
Oh, well... most of them. Some of them I haven't.
So are you the librarian who ate most of Lincoln Road?
Yeah, maybe 70% of it.
That's impressive.
But not as far as you did.
Well, yeah, mine was a professional quest.
Yes.
It became a mission and a duty.
Right.
And
did they
kind of obsessed about it, yeah, didn't you?
Did they, any of them offer, like, free lunch?
I think one or two may have.
Oh, good.
Towards the end. But, I mean, a lot of them are really hard-working, small businesses.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I discovered, you know, just how hard people are working all along Lincoln Road. And I really respected that and admired it. Some places in particular, you know, doing real long hours for not a huge return.
Yeah.
And doing real good food.
Yeah, yum food. Now, I don't know if you know, but... Oh, well, some of my family did own fast food.
Yeah.
But not on Lincoln Road. And I did work in one. So, no, actually, I worked in two. So...
What are we talking?
Chinese takeaway, fish and chips.
Yes.
Yeah. So, not on Lincoln Road, though.
Right. So, you were at the coalface. You know what this speaks of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting just reading each different review or encounter with each of the fast food places, and I really...
And operators, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. It was just like, oh, cool. And also just having this book, you could give it to your, like, friends or family who are overseas and say, hey, Lincoln Road is now famous. It's in a book.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is that, you know, Zobby's a very, very specific street.
Yes.
Out at Henderson in West Auckland. But really, one of the things that really attracted me to it is that there's a kind of a Lincoln Road throughout New Zealand.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all eating McDonald's and yes. Burger King and Pizza Hut and yep. Dunkin' Donuts, and they all just seem to be in one particular
yeah.
territory.
They do.
Lincoln Road is yep. only 3 kilometres in
yep.
length.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't drive, so it struck me that this would be a doable journey of walking along the bank, so to speak, of the mighty Lincoln Road River and eating it in a single, you know, it was actually really difficult. It was hard, spiritually, yeah. emotionally, morally. It was kind of quite difficult.
Wow.
It felt like a circle of hell sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is
here
a busy...
Here I am again, you know?
It's a busy road. It's just a nightmare sometimes.
It's the second busiest length of road in New Zealand.
Second?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the first one?
There's a particular section of Great North Road in Auckland, which is even more
okay.
Loud and busy and so forth. And so, yeah, you'd be walking along there and you're in view of the Waitakere Ranges and the heavy, constant grind of gears. And so forth. So sometimes it was like, what the hell have I done
here? No.
But a lot of the time also it was just pure fun.
Yeah.
It was just such a great pleasure. And to meet a lot of, you know, really cool people, people who worked in these places, but also customers, people on the street. It was really terrific. I thought it was, you know, like a journey into New Zealand in many ways. It's what we eat now. It's where we go.
Yeah.
It's what we like. And these sorts of places, you know, McDonald's, Burger King and so on, they don't get a lot of press, do they?
No.
Mostly get bad press and they get links to obesity and things like that. The consumer in New Zealand moaning on about KFC's sponsorship of the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, is it?
So that's not untypical response to these places. Mm. But the reality is that they're packed.
Mm.
People are having a good time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of families and they like what they're eating. And, you know, that's because a lot of it's really delicious.
Yeah. And I think at the end of a long working day and you're coming home, well, to West Auckland, and then there's dinner waiting for you.
And it's fast. You
and
don't
have
hot. To do the dishes. It's
yeah.
hot. It's tasty.
Yeah.
And there's an excitement about it too. The very first place I went to had just opened on Lincoln Road, Texas Chicken.
Yes.
I think there's about 3 of them in Auckland now. And it had just opened, so there was a real buzz
yeah,
in the restaurant. You know, people were trying it for the first time and they come out of curiosity. And I spoke to one couple there, this family, and I said, oh, you know, what made you decide to come here? And they said, oh, we got a call from our daughter last night saying, you know, she'd been to Texas Chicken, and the thing she actually said to them, and they quoted her saying, was, Mum, Dad, you got to go there. And I just thought, this is just so exhilarating, a sense of excitement and you know, at being on the ground floor of a launch of a new, you know, a new food.
Yeah.
And I loved that. And it was, you know, it was quite contagious.
Yeah. I remember then when that opened and we were excited. Oh, it's a new place to go and try new food.
Well, you know, there's some of the red letter dates in our cultural history, I suppose you could put it, is the opening of the very first McDonald's.
That's right.
The opening of the first KFC. And the queues and the fuss and the hubbub, you know, these are exciting. And that spirit, you may think it's a kind of a nostalgic thing, but it actually still continues.
Yeah.
I saw a terrific photograph in the Southland Times, I think it was, of Hell Pizza opening up a franchise in Invercargill.
Right.
And a huge queue. This is only like 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And again, it was that same excitement. You know, something new has come to town.
Yeah.
Good food, hot food. And it's kind of groovy and exciting.
Well, one fast food place that isn't in here which has actually made a revival, is Georgie Pie.
Georgie Pye doesn't have premises on Lincoln Road.
Yes.
It's not complete. It's missing Georgie Pye, Wendy's.
Yeah, there's no Wendy's.
Yep. Mrs. Higgins Cookies.
No, we don't
have
that.
That's an awesome franchise. Yeah. That would go real well on Lincoln Road, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not quite complete.
Not quite. But you do have some favourites, don't you?
Yes. Very early on, I dined at Nando's.
Number one.
I never found anything better. Although, if I had made it my mission to eat at Lincoln Road this year, then that may well have changed. Mm. And the reason for that is that one of the discoveries I made is that these franchises, they're really only as good as the franchisee.
Mm.
There was a particular family who owned and operated Nando's on Lincoln Road last year, and they were brilliant.
Yeah.
They were studious, they were happy, they were hardworking. They covered all the angles and all the details.
Yeah.
And you really got a feel of that.
Yeah.
They've been bought out by the actual franchise itself.
Oh.
And I've been there since, and it's genuinely not the same.
Not the same.
You know, it's not taking away from anybody who actually works there, but no one owns it no more. It's just owned by Nando's, okay. The corporation.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's not as good an experience.
The same feeling.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, you're very observant as you noticed that. Now, Steve, would you like to read a little excerpt so readers have an idea of
I'd be delighted
what we're
to.
Talking
sure.
about?
Sure, okay, thanks. Well, I was going to read the very last chapter, which was from McDonald's.
Okay.
But I've decided, no, I will read the one about Valentine's. Because you liked it, Selena.
Yeah,
and
I thought that's
a nice vote. So this is chapter 49, which is, say, food joint 49, and that series of 55 food joints that I ate at. And I headlined it, A Love Story at Valentine's. The man who ate Lincoln Road sat by himself on Wednesday in the pretty vacant lot of Valentine's. I took a corner table, and that made me feel even more lonely and, let's be frank about it, pathetic. It seats maybe 100 people. 9 people are at lunch, and that includes a baby. The manager on duty, a large, rather gloomy Indian fellow, moved ponderously in his kitchen whites. There were no other staff. The food in the buffet tray seemed kind of jaded. I looked out onto a view of a car park and the warehouse. I thought, I am in hell. But I just needed to relax and adjust to its charms. It was my first time at a Valentine's. The original Valentine's opened in 1989 in that great social laboratory of New Zealand, Pakuranga. There are now restaurants in Mount Eden, Manukau, Glenfield, Hamilton and Petone. It's become a New Zealand classic. We can all picture that strangely designed heart-shaped V. You go to Valentine's for an occasion, don't you? Something to celebrate with family and friends. It's always had that kind of appeal, a treat, somewhere nice to go with the kids or your deaf uncle. Rubbish, moaned a trip advisor review of Valentine's in Petone. Another, absolutely disappointed. A third, happily, awesome place for gold card members. A fourth, devastatingly, childhood memories destroyed. Well, what about Valentine's in Lincoln Road? What did the reviews have to say about that? Horrible, disgraceful, never coming back. And really devastatingly, seriously? I could see where they were coming from as I plodded around the buffet trays and piled my plate with worryingly brown pieces of roast pork, wilted lettuce, dry chips, and stiff clumps of white rice. The buffet lunch is $15.90 and all you can eat, but there wasn't much that I wanted to eat. I passed on the Greek salad and the egg salad and the creamy potato salad, which had pieces of celery on top of it. Alone at my table in the corner, I was a loser picking at the bland meat. The music didn't help. How great thou art, yelled Howard Morrison. I needed cheering up, so I went and had a chat with the other solitary diner. Manu Dunwoody, 42, from Henderson, was in terrific spirits. She had just polished off her main meal and was about to attack the dessert trays. "Ooh," she said, "I love it here. It's a bit special, isn't it? I come here with my brother on my birthday. I've been here 10 times. Her surname, she explained, was Scottish. She said, "I'm Maori. They adopted me." I asked her to rate Valentine's out of 10. She gave it serious thought, and then she said, 9. It would have been 10, but they didn't have any mussels today. "Ooh," she said, "I love me mussels." Her happiness was like a lesson that I wanted to learn. The best way to go about that, I figured, was to eat more. I piled my plate a second time with more pork and fries and roast potatoes, also quite a bit of curry chicken. Then I emptied a sachet of salt over it, and actually it was really delicious. Pale sunlight softened the view of the warehouse. "Like a river flows surely to the sea," Elvis sang. "Darling, so it goes." Love was in the air. An old couple came in. He wore a loud Hawaiian shirt. She wore a black beanie and held on to a walker. "I live in Amberwood Rest Home on Don Buck Road," said Barbara Wallace, 75. "This is Barry. He's 87. It's his birthday." I said, "Happy birthday." She said, "He can't hear you. A gunshot went off in his ear in the war." He wore his silver hair long. He was quite agile and moved with a certain grace. Barbara said, "We met last November, November 19. We went to Green Lane Hospital for eye operations, and we've been together ever since." He gave the thumbs up. She said, "I've written 3 books. One is about my life. It's called I, Barbara. Some of it is very sad. I married 3 times, and each of them belted me up. My second husband, I came home one day, and he was in bed with 3 women, naked. I ran to the car, but he caught me and punched my face so bad. But Barry," she said, "Barry's very kind and gentle, and he's always giving me things." I said, "Is it love?" She said, "I'm sure it is. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me." Barry gave the thumbs up again. She said, "I write him letters." I said, "What do you write?" She looked him in the eyes, leaned closer, and said, "What kind of things do I write to you?" He said, "Nice things." Their love story followed me to the dessert tray, where I piled my bowl with chocolate cake, chocolate log, a chocolate brownie, chocolate mousse, strawberry jelly, a green marshmallow with coconut icing, and raspberry jelly. It was a continent of sweetness, a whole planet, and I explored every bit of it and then went back for more. Everything was good. "I'll be there," sang Freddie Fender, "before the next teardrop falls." The guitar solo, that sharp, ringing Tex-Mex bell, filled the room. I looked over at Barry and Barbara. They were laughing.
Aww.
And I gave Valentine's 9 out of 10, and it's since closed down on Lincoln Road.
I know.
Yeah, real sad.
Aww. But a bit sad you went there alone, because it's Valentine's. But it wasn't Valentine's Day, was it?
It wasn't, no. The man ate Lincoln Road was a bit of a lone wolf. Aww. I ate at most of these places. Aww. By myself. I had my birthday dinner, though, at La Porchetta with my partner Emily and our daughter Minka.
Yeah.
And there were a few other outings with Minka and her little friend Zara. Oh, they were both 9 years old at the time.
Yeah, I bet they really wanted to come with Dad and check it all out. Hey, we're going to take a break now. We're going to listen to Pickin' a Chicken, and we'll be right back.
Barbecue and sit by my side. We couldn't choose a better night if we tried. Can't you imagine what a thrill it will be? Picking a chicken with me. It's so romantic, the moon up above is extra bright on a night such as this. A kiss. So to the barbecue, my darling, my dear. I'm so in love with you, and when you are near, I get a feeling that forever you'll be picking a chicken with me. My darling, my dear, I'm so in love with you, and when you are near, I get a feeling that forever you'll be picking a chicken with me.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Book Chooks on Planet 104.6 FM in Auckland, New Zealand. If you missed the first half of our show, you can download and listen to us online at planetaudio.org.nz/bookchooks.
Also, check out our Goodreads group. The link is on the website, where you'll find the list of what we're reading on the bookshelf.
Hey, Steve, I just so wanted to play that song because it's about chickens and eating.
Yes, it's apt, isn't it?
Yes, and there are just so many chicken places on Lincoln Road.
Yeah, there are. It was my idea that we should they should construct a statue of a chicken at either end, like the salmon at Rakaia.
Good idea. Yeah, well, book chooks are all for chickens. talking of chickens and other books, I have a pile of books to share just to do with our theme. And some of them are cooking books. So, okay, this one, are you sure that every New Zealander must have in their kitchen?
Edmund's Cookbook?
Yep, Edmund's Cookbook. And it's like part of New Zealand's heritage since 1879.
Yeah, and I'm sure everyone can picture the cover.
Yes.
With the
quite orange,
the golden sun setting or rising.
Yeah.
And you may think to yourself, why does that look familiar? The cover of The Man Who Ate Lincoln Road is a homage to that.
Oh, great.
It's got a pink and purple sun setting. But the sun in this case is a donut.
I think Edmund's Shorter Rise Factory is down in Christchurch, I think.
Yeah, not sure. Yeah, is that true?
It might be. I have to do a bit of research on that. But it's a great cookbook for anyone wanting to do baking and make lamingtons and
fantastic book.
Things that New Zealanders have been cooking for a long time. And then this one, New Zealand Food and How to Cook It. It's a bit of an old one by David Burton, illustrated by Judy Lambert. And the interesting thing about this book is it has recipes for things like puha, whitebait, crayfish, kina, all the New Zealand mussels, as the Valentine's lady said, kumara, mutton bird.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, and a little bit of a history about it as well, so you're getting not just recipes, but...
Yeah, David Burton's a very highly regarded, and so he should be, Wellington food writer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he does write about the social history of food quite a lot as well. He's a real smart guy.
It says he's written the award-winning book 200 Years of New Zealand Food and Cookery.
Right.
So, yeah. So your book is in a great tradition of...
It's kind of in that tradition.
Food books, culinary books. And another one I thought I'd bring along to share is Alison Hulse, who has written with her son Simon hundreds of cookbooks, because she is a cook and chef and used to be on television.
Yeah, absolutely, Jin. I had the pleasure of interviewing her once, and I just thought she was 100% absolutely wonderful person.
Yeah. She's
real,
lovely.
The true mother of the nation.
Yeah, and I would...
Judy Bailey just read the news. Alison Hulse fed us.
Yes, exactly.
She's an awesome person.
And the good thing about Alison Hulse's cookbooks is all the recipes are tested and the ingredients are available here. Like, you don't have to source them from exotic places.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And they.
Yeah, Alison Hulse's book and the Edmonds cookbook, they would be the two most used ones in when I cook, yeah.
They definitely work, these recipes.
Yeah, they work. Well said.
So that's what you need when you're looking for cookbooks and recipe books, because you don't want to make something and then it doesn't taste right.
Yeah.
Because even though you followed the instructions, it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, they're both terrific. I think the modern counterpart to that, pretty simple, very efficient meals which work and are real delicious, is by Chelsea Winter.
Yes.
I think she's really terrific.
Oh, she's the next Alison Hulse.
She kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are the cookbooks that I thought I'd bring along to share with you, even though you didn't do any cooking, but you were eating, so.
Yeah.
And one more is Henderson's Mill. This is a history book of Henderson by Anthony G. Flood. It's a little old. Well, it's gone into its second edition, but I rescued this from the library because it was being withdrawn.
Has it got a section on Lincoln Road?
Well, yeah, I was looking at it before you came along to
What's it got?
Read
it out, Selena.
Okay, so page 165. The land between Lincoln Road and Henderson Creek has been well turned over for kauri gum around the turn of the century, mainly by immigrant Yugoslav families. For example, the Bilic brothers, while mining in Australia, had heard about the riches to be won from gum digging in New Zealand. They were among the first to arrive, leasing digging rights over about 500 acres, or 223 hectares, down Lincoln Road from the township to nearly as fast as the present motorway. With the help of other immigrants, they worked knee-deep in the fine creek bed soil, digging up ton after ton of the readily saleable kauri gum. When their lease expired, many of these families headed north to find new gum fields. As for the Bilic brothers, one was thrown from his horse and killed, another returned to his home country, but Martin Bilic stayed on. He changed his name to White, a translation of his Yugoslav surname, and with his family set about establishing orchards and planting fruit trees and vines over a 40-acre or 18-hectare block of land they had brought with the profits from their gum-digging days. It is believed that Martin White made the first export sale of golden delicious apples from the district, obtaining an incredible £2 a bushel on the English market. His consignment of 80 bushels of apples realised £160. Wine sales from his first few grape crops were slow at first, a jar a week, but in the early days, sales to the inmates of Don Buck's camp on Birdwood Road boosted turnover. However, the mainstay was still fruit from the orchards.
Yeah. How interesting. Good to hear Don Buck Road getting another mention, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that. I love the history and the narrative of Lincoln Road itself, how it had been one of Auckland's great fruit bowls. From one end to the other was a beautiful paradise of spring blossom, apples, pears, you name it, and grapes. And now look at it now, you know, and it's kind of...
It's a different kind of paradise.
Well, I mean, I love it. I have a real good time up there. But you do have to think, you know, is this the best we can do?
Hmm.
Is this what's become of us?
I don't know.
That we have 3 kilometres of essentially salt and sugar factories stuffing us. And so you do have to take that into account.
Oh, it's a bit of a philosophical question, isn't it?
Well, it's real life.
Yeah. Okay, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid, Steve. But thank you so much for coming in and sharing the man who ate Lincoln Road with us.
Thank you, Celine. It's been a real pleasure.
Happy reading, everyone.